welcome to a bonus episode of the Encourage podcast. We love sharing new books with you. And today, Encourage community manager Becky Keefe talks with one of our favorite authors. Listen as they have a conversation that's sure to encourage your heart and learn more about a book we love. Hello, Encourage friends. Welcome back to the podcast. I am Becky Keefe, the Encourage community and editorial manager. And if you've been around, you know that on the weekends, we love talking about books we love with authors who we love. And today, I'm talking with one of my favorite people. If you've been around, you know her writing. You probably know her voice from other episodes of the Encourage podcast. Today, we have writer, author, speaker, and award-winning children's book writer, Dorina Lazo Gilmore-Young. Hi, Dorina.
Hi, Becky. Such a joy to be with you again. Thanks for the intro.
Yes, yes. So friends, Dorina has a brand new, beautiful children's book coming out, but, and we're going to talk about it. It's called Kailani's Gift, and we're going to talk all about it. But I want you to know, don't tune out if you're like, oh, I don't have kids, or I'm not really interested in children's literature, because the message of this book and some of what we're going to talk about today is for all of us, because it's really about understanding that God has gifted us in lots of ways, learning to persevere as we develop our gifts, and really what the Lord wants to do in us and through us, even when it doesn't always come easily. So, is that a good summary of themes of Kailani's Gift? What would you add?
Well, I love how you articulated that, actually. Yes, I think this is a message for, I'll say, kids of all ages, which includes adults and grandparents and, you know, mamas and daddies and college kids. I mean, we all have gifts that God has given us, but it does not mean that we come out of the gate with those gifts perfectly developed. And so that is so much what this book is about. And it's about also how community comes around us as we're developing those gifts and can help to just encourage us and push us on and stir up, you know, the goodness that God has for us as well.
Yeah. Okay. So give us an overview of what Kailani's Gift is about. Who is Kailani? Where did the story come from? I want to know it all.
Okay. Well, I actually wrote this book more than 10 years ago. It was originally written as a sequel to my book, Cora Cooks Ponseit, which is also about a Filipino-American girl who's learning to cook with her mama. And this book has taken some different edits and forms, and it's been rejected and been praised. And here in 2024, finally getting to share it, and it will be on bookshelves and in the hands of kids, which I'm so excited about. But the heart of the story is a little girl who's the youngest of several siblings, and she wants to learn this traditional Filipino dance called the tininkling. And her siblings are really good at it, actually, and always practicing in the garage and performing. And so she decides she wants to learn. Well, it's difficult for her, just like anything. When we try for the first time, she is a bit clumsy. She doesn't get the steps right away. Even her brother kind of makes fun of her, but she perseveres. And with the help of her dad, who is kind of her dance teacher in this scene or this season, she begins to learn the dance. And I won't give away every detail of it, but just at the end of it, it kind of culminates with this 50th anniversary party for her grandparents, where she gets to actually join her siblings and perform the dance. So there's a lot of fun cultural details about Filipino American families and food and dress and dance, but it's also a story that's very universal about trying something new, a new hobby. And like we talked about before, having perseverance through that, to, you know, kind of get over our nerves and also to see that it is important to practice, to get to that place.
Which is such a good lesson, obviously, for kids, because, you know, I have three kids, you have three kids, whether you have children of your own, friends, or you're a teacher or a coach or an aunt or, you know, anyone, we all can see like kids get frustrated. And I think grownups do too. Like we want to be good at something right away. And it's so easy to want to give up if we don't experience that immediate success or something doesn't feel super comfortable right away. But Dorina, what do you think God has to say to us? Or what have you learned about those seasons in your life where it just would have been easier to give up, instead of continue to practice or cultivate or have that patience in developing a gift?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Becky, you're a writer too. And so much of the writing life, we encounter this. But even I think about some other things I've done in my life, like I used to play piano and I was a dancer when I was younger and did theater, that kind of stuff. And I have experienced this in every season, in every stage of my life, feeling the insecurity, maybe even feeling those voices inside that are like, I'm an imposter, I can't do this, I'm not good enough, or looking at someone else who's maybe down the road and feeling inferior to them. But what the heart of the message is, I think, from the Lord is that He delights in the process with us. Mm-hmm. And so I think about my mom, and as I was growing up, I had to practice piano every day. And, you know, I'm sure most people would get sick of hearing the same song over and over again. I guess the times when I would be stumbling over little runs and sections of the music, but my mom just absolutely delighted in listening to me play the piano. And it was something she never had the opportunity to do as a child. And so whether I was performing on a stage or whether I was, you know, practicing my hour after school, the same old songs over and over again, like she just had so much joy in that. And I think that our Heavenly Father is like that too. You know, when we're working on a piece that we're writing, or maybe we are, you know, preparing for a meeting that we're part of a team, like all of those things that maybe feel kind of insignificant, showing up really does matter. And He delights when we enter into that process. And even I believe that the posture of our hearts is more important than the production or the final product.
Yeah. And this week on Encourage, you wrote about this. You shared more about that story with your mom and growing up playing the piano. And Dorina, you wrote this, which I just loved. You said, "The good news about gifts and talents is God takes the same posture as my mama did about my piano playing. He is proud of us, whether we are stumbling through practice or performing on a stage, like you said. He does not require perfection. God cares more about the orientation of our hearts." And I think someone needs to hear that again. He does not require perfection. God cares more about the orientation of our hearts. Speak more to what you mean by the orientation of our hearts.
Well, I was looking at some of the scriptures that talk about this as well, and just the idea that, you know, whatever we do, that we would work at it with all of our heart. What that means is not striving for perfection. It means having this posture that we actually can worship God and honor God and bring glory to God when we are developing our gifts. And that completely reframes it. And I mean, as someone who in different seasons of my life have definitely struggled with perfectionism, there's a freedom in that. So, I mean, piano is a great example. Like, yes, I want to be perfect in hitting the right notes. And yes, my teacher would get on me to make sure that I was like playing in the right time and just the nuance. But also it was the feeling behind my playing. And that's what sets pianists apart. You can't just simply play the notes, but there's an emotion, there's a feeling that can come through in the way that you play those notes. And I believe that is kind of that orientation of our hearts. And anything that we do, that if our heart is pointing toward God, if it is thinking about it in the sense of worship, then perfectionists kind of attitudes can be pushed to the other side of the table because it's not actually what motivates us anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of this story that my dear friend Elise shares, and how one day she was gone at work all day, and she comes home and she has lots of kids, and her littles were like, mom, come and sit down. We want to show you something. And in all of their like little kid pride, they wanted to just simply sing her the ABCs. And just their, you know, their faces were all lit up and they'd been practicing all day. But yet when they got to the part of LMNOP, they didn't say LMNOP. They said, you know, PMLMNO, and then just like went on, but with like the same, you know, bright smiles. And at the end, they're like, mom, did you like it? Did you like it? And she was like, I loved it. And it was actually the part that was, quote, incorrect, that was her favorite part, right? And so I feel like that just illustrates like what you're saying. Like God isn't watching us being like, you messed up, not quite right. No, he's like, when you come and you give me all that you are and all that you have, perfections and all, like even our mess ups could be God's favorite part, because he sees that we are learning, and that our posture, the posture and orientation of our heart is to please him and to just delight being in the moment with him. And so, yeah, I love that you brought that up as well.
And I'm a big believer in progress. Like it brings so much joy to my heart as a mom. I'm also a teacher. I also coach track and field. So I get to work with my own daughters, with my students, with my athletes, and seeing that, you know, I talked before about the process, but even the progress that we make, whether it's a little personal record in running or watching my daughter who loves to sing and just hearing her gain confidence the more she practices something or the more that she performs. You know, I think God cares about that as well. And so often we kind of can get obsessed with what the final product mm-hmm. looks like or just with the finish line. But there's a development, a growth that happens, like you were talking about, over time.
Right. And I love that this book took 10 years to come from like that first draft to now on bookstore shelves and in the hands of people. And because I think it speaks to the fact that like we can trust God's timing and we can trust his ways, and that, you know, sometimes we are going to face rejection and disappointment. We're going to feel like, am I really hearing you, God? Or is this worth continuing to pursue? And yet God has made you to be a storyteller, Dorina. And so when we are living into who he created us to be, whether that's, you know, a dancer or a baker or a mom or a coach or fill in the blank, like all of us have all these, you know, beautiful different aspects of who we are and roles that we get to play. But that we can trust that he is working on our behalf, that he does have good plans for us. Even if the journey getting there, that progress isn't as comfortable or as expedient as we would like.
Absolutely. I mean, if I'm completely honest, there were times when I thought, well, this book is just something I wrote for fun and it's never going to see the light of day. Mm-hmm. And I put it away in my drawer, or, you know, computer files is the drawer, yeah. for lots of years, you know, and I got lots of rejection letters along the way. People who, oh, I really like the story, but we're not sure if this can sell. And so I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God wanted this book to see the light of day in 2024 during this time. And my editor had such an enthusiasm for it. Even the illustrator that I was paired with, Lenore Bontegout, she has such beautiful work and she's Filipino American. I actually just got to meet her in New York last week. And it was just so sweet to kind of unite our hearts around this story. And I think, you know, if this would have been published 10 years ago, she would not have been the illustrator that would have been chosen. Right. And so I just love how there's that timing. Another sweet little fun detail is that I wrote this thinking about my own grandparents and their 50th wedding anniversary and a party that we had where we all danced together to honor them. But last year, my parents celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary and we had a special trip with my siblings and, you know, my nieces and nephews and my kids. And so even just the timing of that I could give this as a gift to my parents in their 50th anniversary year, You know, God has so many plans that are higher than ours. And it's sweet to look back now and think, okay, well, this is why I had to wait.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. Now, another aspect of the book that you have touched on is that it really celebrates and describes and invites readers into pieces of the Filipino culture. And you do this beautifully in other things that you have written. But talk about why it's important to you as a writer to write books that are, you know, culturally rooted, and why you think that's important for readers young and old.
I appreciate that question, Becky. You know, since I was a little girl, I have been a voracious reader. I was totally the kid who was like hiding under the covers with the flashlight and racking up the list of books that I read for summer reading program. But when I was little, I was always looking for myself in books. And there were so many beautiful, classic, award-winning books that I loved. But there were few or none that were about Filipino American girls or mixed race kids like my kids. And so that's why I'm so passionate also about telling our story, because I know, because these are my readers that I get to meet in person all of the time, I know that there are little Filipino American girls who need to see themselves in a book. And they also need to, you know, not just books that are teaching about Filipino culture, but they need to see that, you know, being mixed race is normalized. In fact, it's like the biggest population in our country. So those are some of the reasons why I continue to write the story. I think also when we're reading stories that are rooted in a specific culture, if you're not from that culture, it's just such a great opportunity to learn. And so this dance, the tininkling, is really fun because you dance between these two bamboo poles that are clicked together. It's actually a hard dance to do. Mm-hmm. But in the 80s, they actually taught, I think 80s and maybe early 90s, I've talked to some people who learned this dance in PE class in the US.
Really?
So there's a whole like kind of generation of probably like 40s, people who are in their 40s and 50s who learn the tininkling. And so there's even in that, even if you're not Filipino American, there's a little nostalgia in that of like, oh my gosh, I learned that dance when I was in middle school. But what I love also is that it's a universal story about family, family coming together, family supporting us, you know, food, dancing, celebration, which I believe are also things that glorify God. That he created us for the family unit, that he created us for connection through culture. And so that's why I just have to keep writing about it.
So good. So good. And what you're saying too, Dorina, reminds me of one of the big heartbeats of Encourage is to reflect stories that represent the entire body of Christ. And also to learn from stories that are unlike our own. And so I think it's a gift to all of us, whether you see yourself, or a child, visually or in the cultural pieces of Kailani's gift, or you're like, I didn't know this. Like it's a gift to all of us because our cultures, you know, how we look, where we're raised, all of it is intentional, is intentionally crafted in us by our creator. And so I think the more that we can learn and learn how to, you know, celebrate, you know, all kinds of different cultures, again, it's not to be self-focused, but to be God-focused and think about like, oh, like, look at like the beauty of the creator. And he is the God who sees. And so I love that we can see one another more fully through the gift of stories. And you do that really well, Dorina.
Thank you. That's one of my favorite things about Encourage too. I love the diversity. I look forward to reading the stories. I was a reader before I was ever a writer for Encourage, and I learn every day from my sisters on the storytelling team.
Yeah. So friends, we'll link it in the show notes, but Dorina is on Encourage this week, if you missed it, sharing one of her great stories, something that's going to encourage you, as well as more about Kailani's gift. We are also hosting a giveaway. So if you are listening to this episode the week it comes out, you can still head over to encourage.me and find that article, enter the giveaway, and certainly go and pick up a book, a copy of Kailani's Gift for yourself, for your family, for a family that you know and love. And Dorina, tell us where else people can find you and your work.
Probably the easiest way to find me is at my website, dorinagilmore.com. I have all the links to my socials and my writing there. And I am doing virtual and in-person book talks for kids. So that's another way that people can connect. If you've got kids in your life, I would love to be able to meet them virtually or in person and share this book.
All right, friends, that's it for today. God loves you so much. Ultimately, that's what we want you to know. He has gifted you. He is with you on the journey. He cares about your heart and he sees you. Until next time, friends.
The Encourage podcast is brought to you by Dayspring. For over 50 years, Dayspring has created quality cards, books, and gifts that help you live your faith. Find out more at dayspring.com.